This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. Right now we welcome in Susan Waldman. Susan's appearance is brought to you by Empower Solar. Susan getting set to head to L.A. Game 1 Friday night. What a dream matchup. 15 years, Susan. Been a long time since you called a World Series game. How pumped up are you?
I'm actually very pumped up about it because this is... You know, World Series are great. I've obviously done a lot of them, but Yankees-Dodgers is, I think it's the ultimate for everybody. And if you can't love this, then you don't love baseball.
I'm with you, Susan. That was the first, I was telling Sal the other day, that was the first World Series I remember, just based on my age. I really remember watching pitch by pitch. And that was the 81 World Series. Of course, the Yankees lost to the Dodgers. Great Dodgers team. But when that ball by Soto leaves the fence... Well, I mean, where's it ranked for you? Of all the moments you've been in the booth, is that number one? I mean, what is it?
No.
That's not okay.
We said number one. Do I have to pick them?
No, you don't have to.
No, I mean, I've done every World Series since 96 here. There are a lot of great moments. You know, there's a lot of great moments. There's Tino. There's Brocious. There's Mariano. There's a thousand things. It was good.
That at bat,
it's a long
Susan.
List, Alan. Yeah, I do get that.
Here's the thing that's interesting about Soto is that everything that he does, and I've said this before, every at bat is a three act play, and even when he doesn't succeed, he terrorizes pitchers. They're exhausted by the time they finish with him, and that's been going on all year, and you could see it. And what I loved about that at bat is that you watch him; he's almost like a musician just playing different notes until he gets the chord that he wants. And he was able to foul pitches off and destroy pitches, and he does all those little things: the little smile at the pitcher, the little finger wave. It's all those kinds of things that go into what makes him a must-watch. He's one of those guys that, you know, you didn't get out of your seat when Reggie was up. You didn't get out of your seat when Daryl Strawberry was up. And and if you miss some of the guys on this team, then, you know, you shouldn't be a Yankee fan. Soto's one of them. It's terrific.
It was incredible to watch because it was the first time, Susan, in my life I can remember watching a game knowing that the batter was telling the pitcher, I've got you beat. There's nothing.
He's done this all year.
Yeah, but in this spot, in that spot, you're right. I mean, this is what he does. I know that. But in that spot, postseason, World Series trip on the line, to do it against a terrific reliever, against Gattis, my God, was that just impressive. You're right. He does this all the time. So he's going to get 600.
He's the same person. He's exact. And if you look at all of these guys, you look at Judge, you look at Stanton, you look at Soto, they're the same every single at bat. They know exactly. And Soto, for 25, is quite extraordinary. He knows exactly what he's doing. And, you know, there are times when he doesn't do that. But in this intimidation, I think it really worked. I know they were also exhausted, which is what happens when you build a team on a bullpen and not on starting pitching.
Yeah, I definitely want to get to the pitching aspect here. Susan Waldman, of course, with us here. BT and Sal and John and Susan, every pitch throughout the World Series. And hopefully we get to number 28, of course, right here on the Fan. So, before we get to Holmes and Weaver, some other pieces, Gerrit Cole, one really good start, two others. We know he's not quite the same as a year ago. Understandably, he was hurt. Do you think he's got multiple quality starts where he can shut down, or at least borderline shut down, these Dodgers who can hit?
Has he got it in him? Sure, he's got it in him. I mean, and that's of course he does. He's not. It's not the same as last year, but he's been working all year to get here. And you know, the first game, you know, this is where he grew up. There's going to be a few people there for him,
yeah.
And it's going to be interesting. If he can keep emotions under control, he gets a little amped up. I think he should be able to. There's no reason to. And, you know, when you're in this spot and who he is and why he was brought here, this is why he's here. And he had said that to me on a couple of interviews that we've had different, you know, clinching after champagne, whatever they are. He said, this is why I'm here. This is why I came here. And this is why he wanted. And, you know, the first thing you see, a flashback, Yankee fan today, you know, today, tomorrow, forever, whatever. I see that little boy. And, you know, now that little boy is going to get to have his dream and to have it in Los Angeles, I think is, you know, it's the stars are aligning for everything.
I feel like, Susan, if the Yankees pitch, they're going to win this series because I know we've both talked about it. And you were saying, well, going in, maybe concerns about the Yankee offense just because in the postseason that's been their thing. They don't generally hit the way that they do in the regular season. I feel like that's now against this Dodger team. Yankees will score some runs. I'm just curious about how they're going to pitch this most potent lineup that they'll be facing with the Dodgers.
Well, I think this, you know, and a lot of people might not agree. I think this is going to be a high scoring series because both these are really two high powered offenses. The Yankees are really good at game planning, however. And they are really good at it. I do know that. I don't know about Flaherty. He wasn't so great the last time out. Yamamoto pitched the best game of the year here in Yankee Stadium against the Yankees this summer. It was right before he got hurt. But they had their starters. That's it right there. Walker Buehler can be good. He also is coming off an injury. He's not the same. Walker Buehler used to throw 100 miles an hour. He doesn't go anywhere near that now. I think the Yankees have a better chance because they are not. They have more starters. They have more really good starters. If you look at it, if everybody pitches up to their potential, the Dodgers are going to have to do at least one bullpen game, at least one. Those in a seven-game series can come back to haunt you, whether they will or not. Listen, this is a great Dodger offense we're seeing. We've seen it all postseason. They're really good. And all those lefties also, we're going to have to see what Cole can do. And, you know, hopefully he'll be up to it.
So we're talking to Susan, of course, yep. Here on the Fan. BT and Sal, you know, we all can guess what this means for those of us who grew up in the area and played baseball and had this dream, as crazy as it, you know, in hindsight it was, of actually making the majors. Anthony Volpe actually did it. I'm not sure if you saw the picture. Yeah. Did you see the picture?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. What an adorable kid. Yeah. He's 9 years old. And can you share something that maybe we haven't had access to, just what, maybe a conversation on the plane, what you think this is just truly means to him being from here?
Well, I'll tell you who I just came up in the elevator with, and then you can. His mom and his grandparents are here, and they're going with us to L.A. This is, and he's kind of soft spoken and doesn't talk a lot about it. But when I talked to him after the game, kept saying before we went on air, I said I can't believe it. You know, you dream about this. Also, when he decided to sign and not go to Vanderbilt with his buddy Jack Leiter,
yep.
One of the scout who said that said, you know, if you go to school, it's not coming around again.
Yeah.
He would not have been drafted again by the Yankees.
By the Yankees.
He would have been a higher draft pick,
yeah.
And the Yankees always draft low. So you have to think about that also. So the fact that he didn't go to school because he knew this was his shot to go after his dream, I think that's wonderful. I just love the way, you know, they do that. I love the last story about, you know, Wells was in Wells has been in a slump. So he and Volpe, remember the chicken parm story?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
Volpe
last year, yeah.
Shira was chocolate cake and ice cream. And it was the nice. Day before that Wells hit the home run. And I don't know if that's what did it, but you love those kinds of things. You know, it's a family thing for him. His parents are very involved. And for example, when we went to Milwaukee, one of the kids, Blake Perkins, and a bunch of the guys all played at Somerset and lived in the house. And so one was being called up. So Volpe's parents went so that they could celebrate with him about coming up and facing the Yankees. This really is part of a family here. And it's, Now, it doesn't come around a lot, but for Anthony Volpe, it really has. What is he, 23?
Yeah, 23, 24. And it's not like it's a cute 24. Little story. He's actually swung the bat really well. I mean, he hit in some bad luck against Kansas. He looks good swinging the bat, Susan.
He does. And a lot of that is that flattening out of that swing and not going, because everybody wants to pull and everybody wants to have that uppercut and everybody wants to hit a home run. And I don't know whether it was in the chocolate cake ice cream thing that they decided to do that. But when Anthony, he can pull and he does pull. But when he, like Glaber, goes the other way, you see that flat swing and you see those line drives all over the park. And that's what he did against Cleveland.
You got any fun plans, Susan, for L.A.? Or is this all business being that it's the World Series?
No, this is business. This is business. The hours are very long, and so I like spending hours and hours and hours at the park. So,
you think
this doesn't come around a lot?
This is it. I mean, this is the greatest world. Now, look, I'm a Met fan, so obviously for me it's a little different. But 15 years. What I was saying that the Yankees being in the World Series is great for baseball. It's great for the city because love them or hate them, you're going to be locked in at every pitch, and then you throw the Yankees Dodgers. It's a matchup, Susan, that I'm too young to have seen myself, but I've heard about it forever, whether it dates back to the 50s or as BT referenced before, the 80s. This is a great matchup here. Do you think this is World Series win or bust for the Yankees?
Well, they say it is, but I mean, the World Series, Joe Torre always used to say the World Series is totally a crapshoot. You've done everything you can, to get here. There are other little things that are in this, like Aaron Boone and Dave Roberts, who were competitors when he went to Boone went to USC and Doc was at UCLA and competed against each other. They didn't like each other back then. I guess they do now. But there's all kinds of storylines in here that you're going to hear. These guys have known each other since college. One went to USC and one went to UCLA. So it's kind of interesting. And of course, everybody says it's World Series or bust. But there's not a lot you can do once you're here. And things happen. Those series, and I don't remember a lot of them, but that series in the 50s and with the Brooklyn Dodgers and all that, there were a lot of them. Those all except one, I believe, went seven games. So they were all. Once you get to game seven, it really is a crapshoot. Who falls down? Who makes a mistake? But this is pretty good, isn't it?
It's phenomenal. And all those but one went to the Yankees. I said, of course, 55 when the Dodgers broke through, of course, from Brooklyn. BT and Sal, Susan Waltman, as the Yankees and the Dodgers get ready for the World Series. John and Susan together calling it phenomenal. All the action here on The Fan. We're the home of the Yankees. By the way, we've got Yankee tickets to give away on Friday. Our show, Boomer and Geo, the afternoon show. So it's Yankees up the wazoo. Quick one here. Did those dopey Dodgers fix that stupid outfield fence yet? I got to get ahead of this.
I don't know. And that's one of the first things. We have a workout tomorrow, and I'm going to go out there, and I'll send you a picture.
Okay, please do. Nice.
I can still see that, and it better be padded, because if Juan Soto runs into that, I'll kill them myself.
Yeah, get the axe that you would throw with Meredith and throw it right at them. Just throw an axe at them.
Right. We could do that. Yeah, no, it's going to be really interesting. It's a different atmosphere out there altogether. Not my favorite place on earth, but yeah.
And Susan, for Judge specifically, this has been his group since 2017. The Yankees got to Game 7 of the ALCS. They hadn't gotten as close until this year. They finally broke through and are now in the World Series. What do you think this means for Judge here leading the way to get to play in the World Series?
I think it means the world to him. I think it really does. He takes this. He doesn't say a lot. He's very Jeter-esque. He always does the right thing. But I know that emotionally for him, this is really a big deal. And this is something that he's played with for so long and wanted to be here. And, still, I hope he can put out the losing to Houston after this, because you're here and you went through a lot of teams to get here. The other person who has really got to be feeling this, who sat in Dodger Stadium when he was a little boy, is Giancarlo Stanton. And what he has done in this playoff series, I think, has been monumental for him and his legacy. And this is someone also that has waited for this a very, very long time.
Yeah, and speaking of Stanton, who are those two dopes that you were talking to a couple of weeks ago that were saying to Ben Stanton? Who are those idiots? I got to make sure I don't listen to them.
Well, that's been going on all year. I still am waiting for some guy on Instagram to apologize to me in April for saying that they should send sent Aaron Judge down to get his swing back.
Oh, God, jeez.
We're still waiting for that. But we should bench Stanton. Anybody else you want to bench until we bite?
I'm going to let Booty do his job.
Is it okay that everybody's here?
No.
The only thing we're going to see is whether Nestor Cortez is on the on the roster and who goes. So that
Do you think he will be?
Yeah, I do.
I do too.
Yeah, I do.
Yep.
Because he pitched yesterday, and when he came out and he said, you know, if I get a ring, if I have to trade that for missing a year, I mean, he could, you know, he's got a flexor strain, which leads to you know what, but if he's ready to go, and I know he pitched to people yesterday and declared himself ready, my guess is yes, because he would be a big – there's too many lefties on that team.
Would he start game four or out of the pen?
Pen.
No. He would be out of the pen. And the thing you love about Nestor is that he's not scared of anybody. He would not be scared of Ohtani. He would not be scared of Freddie Freeman. And that's a big thing. He would go right after these guys, and since they haven't seen him a lot, it might be good. But then who goes? Do you take a pitcher off? Do you take either Trent Grisham or Jason Dominguez off the roster? That's going to be kind of interesting, too.
Yeah, that is true. Last thing for me here, Susan, and this is definitely more of a sports radio thing, but I'm sure you'll appreciate this. I'm going to bring up Mattingly again. To me, there's one Yankee, and then it ties into Judge, who never won, who is as revered as any other Yankee, and that's Mattingly. Nobody else. Not Winfield, nobody. Does he have, as great as he is, and so many ways Judge is better than Mattingly, certainly in power, does he have to ultimately win to be an all-time iconic Yankee?
Well, see, Mattingly is totally different because the teams weren't good. I mean, it wasn't Mattingly's fault.
Nope.
And these teams are good. But, you know, too, if you're not an all-time iconic Yankee unless you win. But Mattingly is a whole other. I mean, he's my favorite Yankee of all time. It's never going to change. I don't care who walks in here.
Yep.
And it's everything he was. And to me, that series against Seattle, where he hit, 417 and hit that home run, I thought that place was coming down when he hit that home. I mean, it's just, I've never seen anyone as loved as Don Mattingly. And I know that's a lot of times. And Jeter is loved and everybody's loved. But for me, and for a lot of people, it's always going to be Don Mattingly. But the whole situation was different. Don Mattingly was one of these guys that he could be your brother. He could be your, little brother. He could be your boyfriend. He could be your husband. He could be somebody's son. He also was one of those guys who obviously had talent, but made himself into an extraordinary player. And I think that everybody also always thought, if I had worked a little harder, I could be Don Mattingly. Because he just had that everyman whole thing that was going on with him, from the popcorn and the taking the popcorn out of the little kids.
I remember that.
In the stands, everything about him. And he was the captain that, there's no Bernie Williams without Don Mattingly.
Yeah.
Don Mattingly is the one
from, he saved them from Mel Hall, basically. Mel used to abuse him on the bus.
And there were more people, too.
Okay.
But it was like, yes.
Yeah.
And it was, and he's the one who said, you belong here, but you have to do it. But he was the one that was there. And there are so many people that actually happened with Mattingly. And I'll tell you a quick story about Mattingly and his whole thing. Remember Pat Kelly when he was the rookie?
Second base. Sure.
I came in one day, but it's maybe third week.
Oh, don't let the reception. Oh, I need this.
Oh,
okay, we're good. We're good.
You're back.
We're good.
Okay. All right.
Nice.
Slap me for moving. Are you there?
Yep.
Yes.
It's a good story. Okay, it's a good story, too.
I can't wait to hear it.
Looking at Pat Kelly, and I go over there, and I said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm watching Donnie. And I said, watching Donnie do what? And he said, I'm watching Donnie put the socks and stirrups on. I want to do it right.
Oh, God, I love that. It's so simple, but it's so awesome. God, I love Mattingly.
I love Mattingly, too.
Love him.
He didn't win anything.
Hey,
so Susan, how many people hit you up for World Series tickets?
They wouldn't dare. I don't get World Series tickets. Everybody has to buy them, and the day I spend $1,000 on a World Series ticket, no. You'll have to watch it on TV. It's like somebody will say, can you get me tickets? I say, oh, sure, I have them in my desk. How many do you need?
Yeah.
No, no. This is very different.
Or you could get them for free if you listen to the show. We'll be giving them away all day Friday. Thank you, Susan. Have a great call.
Okay, guys.
We'll be listening.
Let's go, Yanks.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Enjoy it.
Susan's appearance brought to you by Empower Solar. Supercharge your savings and electrify your life. I agree with you. Mattingly's my favorite.
I turn into a nine-year-old when I just get giddy. It's like I revert back to, I love Matt. I can't express how much I love Mattingly.
That's one thing we have an agreement with.
God.
You. I love him.
You know what it was about
the
Donnie?
Stance.
Yeah,
the swing.
Oh, God, the stance. He was.
The fact that he doesn't have a ring.
All right, okay.
I love everything about him.
All right, buddy. The fact that he was better than Hernandez. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, that's the one when I win. Keith at least has a ring.
He does have the championship there. And slightly better on the bunt. Otherwise, I'm going Donnie across the board. But anyway, Donnie, you know, what was so. I know we're turning this to Mattingly. I guess we got a break here. But Mattingly, for me, he had. We know he was amazing when he was healthy. He had this understated flair. Like, when you think about flair, you don't really think about Mattingly. Like, Ricky Henderson had flair. Derek Jeter had, you know, certain flair. But Mattingly had even the way, and it's just such a small little subtle thing, but, you know, throw across the diamond, you know, get him out at first. Just the way he'd kind of stand on one foot. I would do this to replicate it off one foot and throw it around the horn to shortstop. And then he'd, like, do this thing with his glove. The guy was amazing, man. Right. I love that.
Why don't you start a podcast about him? BT.
I actually should.
BT and Sal on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll get back to some of your calls here. We've been talking Knicks a lot. In case you missed anything, check out on the free Odyssey app. First hour was all Knicks. Then we started talking a little Yanks. We'll do some Mets coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. We got Howie Rose coming on for the final time this season at 1:20. We'll hear from David Stern, see if he says anything interesting today in the year-ending press conference. I'm mad at myself, BT, because I wanted to ask Susan who I should be rooting for in this series, and I forgot. You got me sidetracked with all the Mattingly stuff and Pat Kelly stories. I wanted to ask Susan who she thought I should be rooting for here. But one other note from that interview. You wouldn't give any consideration to starting Nestor Cortez instead of Luis Gil?
No.
Heel wasn't very good. Now, I like Heel a lot.
We talked about it a lot.
I thought he's the second best pitcher, but what you saw against Cleveland wasn't good. I think Heel's going to get tattooed again. Now, not that Nestor couldn't get tattooed against the Dodgers either. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a matter of fact, anybody could get tattooed, but I would at least consider Nestor starting a game against the Dodgers instead of Luis Gil.
I wouldn't. I don't think there's any chance he's going to start. I think Susan's absolutely right. I think that there's more advantage for the ability to, you know, manipulate certain aspects of the game where it might be an early inning higher leverage higher leverage spot where you go to Cortez to face a lefty with a couple of guys on, and it could be very advantageous. And even if it's even if you don't utilize him and go to him, there's still the notion that he could come in. Not that he's going to scare Freddie Freeman. I'm not saying or scare Ohtani. But I think all right. So what's more likely, that Hill has a decent start versus Cortez? I think that's fairly comparable, because I do think the longer Cortez pitches, number one, he's a little rusty. Number two, he doesn't have great stuff. He's got great guile, doesn't have great stuff. So I think that and Hill does when he's on. So I think it's flip of a coin. Yeah. So if that's kind of a push, where's the advantage lie? Hill coming out of the pen, or Cortez? And for me, it's Cortez, but they're lefty sticks.
Fair enough. Either way, it's not a huge deal, because it's a fourth starter. Either way, it's not a good thing for the Yanks, although it is good to get Cortez back and just have another option. But I just feel like I trust him to be craftier, be a better pitcher than he is a better pitcher than Hill. He doesn't have the stuff that Hill has, but he's a better pitcher than Luis Hill.
He's definitely craftier. Now, let me ask you this. I mean, I know my answer is very easy. Because to me, it's, you know, the ability to strike out 8, 9, 10 guys, he won't go that long. But I mean, during the regular season, the answer is obviously more Hill. Who would you feel more comfortable coming in, you know, whether it's a lefty or a righty, and there's a lot of traffic and there's only one out? See, at that point, Hill would worry me that he's not going to find the strike zone. At least I know Cortez, even if he's going to nibble a little bit more, he's going to be around the strike zone. He's not going to walk two guys in a row.
Right, so you don't want that coming out of the pen.
He could roll the double play. I just feel like there's more options, more chance for some outs with him.
Brandon is in Connecticut. What's up, Brandon?
Great interview, but Susan, it was nice to have her back. I had to get married on the 23rd. That's how big of a fan I have of Don Mattingly. So that was, gave me goosebumps, that interview. As far as with Nestor Cortez, would there be a competitive advantage to have him pitch game four and then possibly replace him on the roster? What's the rule as far as if he comes up lame, would they be able to replace him?
Yeah, I believe the rule is, unless somebody gets injured during the actual series, then you can't make any clerical transactions. I'm going to double check. I don't think you could have somebody start and then mid-series without injury change.
Right.
I don't believe. I'm almost positive you can't
do that. LCS, I think.
What's that?
It just happened in the LCS.
Yeah, but Hamilton got hurt.
We got hurt.
And thanks for the call.
I'm saying, if there's injury, there is a window of opportunity if somebody gets hurt. Pat, you got something?
No, he's saying, can Nestor fake an injury? But you can't do that.
Like, I mean, I guess you could try anything, but
Susan basically said, you know, he's got a flexor strain, so if he says, you know, I'll tell you whatever it takes to pitch in the World Series, that he goes 3-4 innings, I don't know, maybe in game two if Rodon has a bad start, and then it says, oh, my arm is shot, okay, you're off the World Series roster because of an injury, you know, that's real or not, and then they get another reliever, another bat in there.
Well, who's he going to replace anyway on the roster?
Well, I mean, Leiter probably pitched his way onto the back end
of the roster again. Leiter's more valuable.
Grisham or Dominguez. I mean, you know, Dominguez pinch ran. I'm trying to remember. I don't even think Grisham got on the field for a pinch run. I know Dominguez
did. You don't need both those guys.
Yeah, I agree. You don't. So you don't need both. So who's more valuable, Grisham?
Probably Grisham.
Or Dominguez because of his defense.
Yeah. And veteran presence. Like,
I probably agree.
It's amazing. All the things that we talked about all year long. Glaber, Stanton, Dominguez.
I know.
Okay, go back years ago. Cashman, Boone. Like, here we are.
I know.
The Yankees have also had two lefty relievers, Tim Hill and Tim Mazza.
Oh, and Hill's been very good.
Each playoff series. I think Nestor probably replaces Tim Mazza.
Not replacing Hill. It's a good point. Definitely not going to replace Tim. Hill's done a pretty good job.
Stroman, you would think, is going to be on the roster. I would load up on the pitching. I would want as much pitching, as many options as I possibly can going up against this Dodger team. It doesn't mean that they're going to dismiss Dominguez or Grisham, but you're not going to need those guys anyway.
Well, who are you going to pinch hit for? The only reason you need extra, you know, versatility from a position perspective is if you have two or three guys like the Guardians did, who you might very well want to pinch hit.
Because they stink, right?
Well, what Yankee are you going to pinch hit for? Nobody.
I mean, you could say the catcher spot.
Say like Verdugo, tough lefty. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that there's no spots, but for the most part, you roll it out who you roll it out.
Right. You're going to get a pinch hit Dominguez and then take Verdugo out of the game late.
I wouldn't do that. Although, unless you could put Grisham in at that point, I guess. But now you're running out of bodies if you go to extra innings. Like, that's a depth
thing.
What
do you got to do? What happened?
Moraes just ran in here to tell us that yesterday they had alluded to the fact they're going to have 13 pitchers on the roster for the series.
So what was it? What did they have last round?
I guess it was 12, right?
I think so.
So then that means
they're going to lose a position player. Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, probably Dominguez, probably.
The way they're built, you're right. Like,
Who are you pinch hitting for?
I mean,
not many,
right? Not many, if any. And if you do,
yeah.
I mean, you will, Dominguez at this point, you trust, like, as a pinch hitter, you trust a guy that's been an everyday player his career, you know, in the minor leagues and working his way up, and pinch hitting a big spot?
Probably not.
Whatever
no,
spot it would
not
be,
like, no. If you're down like a run or two, no, no, I don't.
Birdie's
not with
valuable. He's not going anywhere. Oswaldo,
Birdie's definitely playing.
Right, Oswaldo, you're going to have on
definitely.
Your, like, it's Grisham.
Trevino, you got two catchers.
Yeah, I think Dominguez would be the odd man out.
Yeah.
If they're going to carry an extra pitcher.
What about the thought that, actually, I think Grisham may be a 2-year deal. I'm almost positive that it was. So I don't think that he's on the, I believe he's on the roster next year. Maybe some optionality. But is there any thought like, hey, if neither's going to really play, is it worth having the young player who's going to be around, hopefully for the next 10, 12 years in Dominguez, just have him in the dugout and be
maybe
around it? Maybe.
Maybe.
Oh, he is a free agent. I thought it was, so it was a 1-year plus, one plus one. Either way. All right, thank you, Zoo. Got it.
Rick is in Tampa. What's up, Rick?
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up? You know, I would take Dominguez. You know, it's funny because I think that he's the one absent player in this run, BT, that's just been phenomenal, that it was as absent or I thought he'd have more of an impact. But because Stan, because of Verdugo, everybody's been playing so good, we haven't really needed him.
And hey, think about this, Rick. I'll let you make your point, of course. We actually had conversations, debates. Now, I was a big proponent of, at some point, maybe having Dominguez play over Stanton. This a while ago. But I was pretty steadfast going into the series with the Royals. I said, I got to put Verdugo out there. He's a better fielder. I got to let Dominguez rot on the bench a little bit. So I was a big proponent during
regular,
the summer.
Yeah, regular season,
yes.
You wanted Dominguez up here instead.
Yep.
Postseason, we both said, you got to go with Verdugo.
Well, once we saw him butcher the outfield, we're like, how do you put him out there?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Go ahead, Rick.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree with that. Now, the thing is, three quick points. And one, that door, I was out that game last year in L.A. when Judge got hurt. I can't imagine that that's not fixed or something right now. So let's hope that the L.A. Dodgers are taking care of that. But three quick things. Gerrit Cole, huge start. I mean, you're talking about players proving. I think Gerrit Cole, he's got the rest. He's got the warm weather for him for his start. I think he has to come up huge. And of course, Judge, I think he has to come up big as well. And I tell you, Gleyber Torres, you know how much we hate on him and all this stuff. He's, if you remember 5 years ago, he was the five-tool player that we couldn't get rid of. And now if he could continue and do his thing like he's been doing, we'll have to be talking
about it. He's been a difference maker. And thanks for the call,
Rick.
He's been a difference maker. If he's getting on, you're screwed. Because then you have to pitch to Soto and Judge. With guys out, like, it's a mess. If you're the opposing team and Gleyber's, and he's gotten on almost every time, it feels like, especially early in these games.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, they aren't even driving him in early on. Usually the Yanks in the first inning coming up short, even though they get, it's Torres and Soto on base.
Especially in Kansas City, Judge bounced into a couple double plays,
so,
whiffed.
Torres has been a difference maker, but back to the biggest point that I think Rick made, BT, Cole. Because if, in my mind, if this series is going to come down to Yankees pitching versus the Dodgers hitting. Like, I think the Yanks are going to hit the Dodgers pitching. And I know the Dodgers are going to be the most difficult lineup that the Yankees have faced by far. Gerrit Cole is an ace. This is not Jack Flaherty. It's not Carlos Rodon or Luis Gil or Clark Schmidt. Gerrit Cole is supposed to be the best of the best. He won the Cy Young a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting paid to be an ace. He's going to get paid more, whatever it may be.
Yep.
This is a spot where the Yankees need their ace to shut down the Dodgers. If that means 3 runs, 7 innings, 8 innings, whatever it may be, that's what it means. But they need Gerrit Cole to keep the Dodgers in check as their ace twice this series.
I'm not pushing back on that. I mean, it's big boy time. You're in your early 30s. You're one of the greatest of this generation. And you've had a tough injury. You've had an interesting season, some flashes of greatness, but not who you were last year for sure when you were the best pitcher in baseball. You got to perform. Otherwise, you just didn't get the job done. And that's what history will reflect. There's really no other way to say it.
Right.
It's why the Yankees got him.
And he's been bad 2 out of 3 in the postseason against lesser lineups.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he can't show up now, but this is why they got him. You're exactly right. This is their advantage in this series. If you look at the lineups, I would say advantage Dodgers, but you can make a case for the Yankees certainly in the lineup.
It's very close. I could see both ways.
Yeah, I still go Dodgers. If you go bullpen, I would go, I mean, I still could see even. I mean, Dodgers have some nasty. I'm trying to
nasty. It's a close series.
All right. If you go starting pitching, it's a clear advantage Yankees, specifically at the top. Gerrit Cole has to be an ace for that.
I agree. Real fast here, Sal. I think one of the keys for both teams, really, and you hear this a lot watching games, like a shutdown inning, Because I'm kind of with Susan. I think it's going to be an offensive series.
Yeah.
I really do. It's going to be the profile. There's going to be some runs. So whether it's the starter, even if it's like not a great start, but it's like 5-4 in the fifth inning and you know, some traffic and it's a little wobbly, whenever you get gifted two more than one run, but certainly two or three, you got to come out, put a zero up. Like, because that's going to, I think that is so key. That applies to Flaherty, Cole, Rodon, every starter, Yamamoto, you name it. You get some runs, you can't go out and give it right back.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. We've been talking lots of Yankees, as we should. Game one, World Series, BT, on Friday. We'll have World Series tickets to give away on Friday. The whole station will. As far as the morning show, we will. Evan and TK will have tickets to give away. Otherwise, you're going to pay a ridiculous amount of money to try to get in the building when the series returns back to the Bronx. You'll be doing a show on the weekend, of course.
Yeah, on Saturday, right after Joe B. So Joe B is on from 10 to 1. I'll be jumping on from 1 to 4. You're leading right. And then,
C-Mac.
Yeah, nice.
I talked to him today.
There you go.
C-Mac was in the house today. I guess they're all going over the Carton Hall of Fame. Congrats to Craig, who's going to be inducted into the New York Radio Hall of Fame.
He is, and deservedly so. I was texting with Craig this morning to congratulate him, and he absolutely deserves it. Rock star. Yeah. Craig's not for everybody. I love him. He's always treated me well, and he is great at what he does.
Except when he didn't text you about the Yankees.
Yeah. We were texting today, though. He sent me a picture of his son scored a touchdown in college. Remember, his son ripped up his knee.
Yeah, I know.
First day of training camp today, so he's back, and he's doing the trip out there. I think in Iowa. Idaho or Iowa? I'm getting confused. Either way, happy for
Iowa.
Craig. It is Iowa.
There you go. Well, either way, so we were talking about the Yankees, and obviously we started the show talking about the Knicks, where the Knicks opened their season last night getting pasted by the Boston Celtics. In case you missed that a bit, check it out on the free Odyssey app. But let's get back to some of the calls here. Joe is in Norwood. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Joe.
What's up, Joe?
I gotta say, I rewatched Sopranos this summer. I had the same realization about the age that I was Tony Soprano's age. It blew my mind.
Yeah, dude, I can't get over that. Oh, it's scary. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, that was nuts. So anyway, I was so pumped last week. I bought 10 World Series tickets from my group sales representative at the Yankees. Everything was great. I was going to the game with 9 friends until I got an email 2 hours later. They took my tickets back. They revoked my tickets.
All of them?
All of them. Every single one.
Why?
Because they flagged me. I've been doing groups for 23 years with the Yankees. They flagged me as a reseller. Because, sure, I did sell some of my tickets on StubHub through the years. Everybody does. You have to sometimes. And I understand they don't want you to sell these games on StubHub because it's crazy on the markup. They want to make the money, not me. I get that.
And they also don't want Dodger fans. You never know. Yeah, I got you.
Right.
Yeah.
So I got the ticket for $400 apiece through the group people. Fantastic.
Wow, well, that's cheap.
Upper deck,
that's
I'm assuming?
They were in the upper deck. I have 406, row 14, seats 19 to 28.
Got it.
I mean, it was set. And what they decided was since they saw that I had resold, that I was completely out. Now, I resold in the back in the day through the Yankees website. They had a button on my Yankees account that said, do you want to sell your tickets on StubHub? So I'm being punished for using the service they provided me.
Listen, it's interesting. Like the tickets, I know Evan's into this. And, when I go to games, I get good tickets. I usually get them from whatever. I'm not a secondary ticket guy. See, I'm the wrong one to ask.
I've had to have been. Remember last year I told you Game 7 of the Knicks-Pacers.
Yeah,
I bought it through a secondary market, and then all of a sudden it was taken away.
I remember
that. The day of, like 20 minutes before.
Yeah, like 12 o'clock in the afternoon, you didn't know what you were doing yet. I remember that.
What's going on here? And it's a tricky thing.
It is. It seems like he's got a pretty long relationship with the Yankees, and it's not as if he's trying to completely lie. He said, I've sold some. I don't know what the protocol. That doesn't seem like he did anything wrong. I don't know.
I would be upset if I were him too. But
yeah, I mean, if they get to resell them, and it's their stadium.
Now, by the way, if you like, so what if he were to resell them? Maybe he shouldn't have been buying the group. That's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see if they're ticked off about a group salesperson reselling the tickets. But usually, if you go buy tickets, don't they say like, "Hey, each person is allowed four, six, whatever it may be.
There's usually a max aside. Yeah, I would think so.
So just buy the max and move on. And then if you get through, like, what do you think? People that bought them through Ticketmaster or whatever, or through the Yankees, doesn't resell them? Of course they do.
Of course they do. That's modern businesses these days. But listen, maybe the Yankees are safeguarding, like, hey, now maybe they do know him, but even if they do know him, it doesn't mean, like, if there's some exorbitant, a lot of Dodger fans came over the summer. If there's some exorbitant figure that he puts on one of these secondary markets, say, 400's cheap. I heard they were up 1,000. So let's say he paid.
Well, that's what I mean. You get him for face value and you resell them and you're making good profit.
Let's say he sells them for 1,500 each. I'm just saying, say the Yankees win both games or the Yankees split and there's even more energy for it, right? Now, if they lose the first two, it might be a little the other way. But the Yankees don't know that he's not going to sell those to 10, you know, Dodger fans. You don't know, and I think that's what they're trying to guard against. So I get that.
Here's what we could do for you, Joe. Because it's, like, that's a you problem. We wish we could help you out, but that's, unfortunately, not much you can do about it. But here's how we could help you. Listen to the station all day Friday and try to win some free 99 tickets to the World Series. I mean, that's what we could do for you.
Yeah, that's all we could do. I'll tell you, that's more than anybody else. That's pretty good.
I don't know what else to do.
Friday.
I mean, at that point, Yankees aren't going to... Listen, Friday, help you out with free World Series tickets. Yankees aren't going to help you out with anything in that spot.
No.
You had your chance and... Yeah.
Big Zoo just said they're up to 11 change now. That's on the secondary market, obviously.
What, standing room only?
Yeah, upper deck. Upper deck, yeah.
Is 1,100?
Yeah, it's up
Somebody
to 11.
Somebody was saying yesterday it was 1,300.
Oh, so I guess
Boyle, I think, said that maybe they got down and come down a little bit.
But he paid 400 for the upper deck and 400. Well, do you know what section? What section was it, Zoo?
This section is 408.
He's 406.
Row 6.
Wow.
And it's 1,100?
Yep.
Face value on my Mets.
That is pretty nuts, man. 1,100 for one.
I know. Well, think about this. Mets, and I had good seats, 300 level seats.
Yeah.
For Citi Field, if the Mets made the World Series, face value was $510.
$510, okay.
It went from 153 to 230.
For each round, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
$500. I mean, it's a lot of money.
It is, but
two tickets is $1,000, but...
Not irresponsible. It's not like... Unless it's all relative to how much you make, and obviously, but it's not unjustifiable, even if you are...
What's the amount you
not
would,
affluent. You're like, okay, if I can do this and, you know, maybe tighten the straps around a little bit next month or whatever, after the holidays, it's the World Series.
Right, but even, like, in my 20s, if the Mets made the World Series, I'm trying to think of 2000, how old was it? Whatever, but the point... And I did have tickets. Luckily, like, I had a plan that year that allowed me to, you know, have postseason games. I had games 3 and 5. But if... Like, you just charge it.
Like, I know, it's true.
Your team's in a World Series. Okay, well... $1,300, like, yeah, I can't afford it, but...
Yeah, I'll get back to it when I can.
Think about if you are a Yankee fan,
mm-hmm.
and you were able to go 15 years ago, and you said, you know what, and by the way, it probably wasn't $1,100 back then, but let's just say it was $1,000.
Yep.
You're a 20-year-old kid, you don't have the money, but you're like, I gotta go.
Oh, yeah.
Yanks are in the series, I gotta go. And you spend the $1,000, you... Like, that $1,000 over the course of 15 years, like, you didn't have another chance to spend that $1,000 to go to the World Series for 15 years, and there's no guarantee you're ever going to get that again, so it's worth it. If you could put it on a charge card or something and it means that much to you, just do it and worry about it afterwards.
As long as it doesn't take you 15 years to pay it off, because then it's 15 years with the interest, and now you're getting banged out for like $10,000.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't even remember how I got my tickets for Game 2 in 09. They were not given to me. I bought those. I can't remember.
Somebody gave
good
me
seats too. Really
I,
good.
I was given Game 2 of 2000.
Just hand them to you?
Yeah, some girl that I used to work with. Her husband was like a cop at Yankee Stadium. Yeah, free. I don't remember paying for them.
You got a lot of girl stories.
BT,
you got a lot of girl stories. It's always a girl that I used to live with, a girl that I she
wait,
was a we, Yankee fan, a girl that I knew, a girl's
husband,
some of those, a girl's
some of, those nights, some of those nights around the fire pit. Oh, you know man. More about your little buddy.
I got a couple too, buddy. Got to dust them off. It's been a while, but...
PT and Sal on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.